evening and welcome to the Outpost Frequencies, brought to you by thelastmovieoutpost.com for all of your movie news, reviews and everything cool about films. I'm your host this evening, not George Lucas, and with me as always is Drunken Yoda.
Hello everyone, sorry for the delay. We're having more technical problems because God hates me.
No, it's not just God, Yoda.
I like to be specific.
And we've also got Sean with us.
How's it going, boys?
Good. And we've also got a special guest. Sean, would you like to introduce him? Because you were the one who invited him on here.
Yeah, this is my longtime friend Dean, and he's a movie guy, obviously, or we wouldn't have him on here. He's got a very fancy British accent that makes him sound very smart. He's articulate, unlike me or these other two guys.
Shut your mouth, innit? What are you talking about, Gavin?
Well, I'm doing about that.
Well, George has taught us that the British accent actually is no indication of intelligence, so we appreciate that.
Does
he have no camera? You got no camera there?
Well, I've covered it over. I'm nude. I got my tiny little dicky out, so I got to cover it over.
Okay, we appreciate that.
Very nude right now.
Right, yeah. The first thing we're going to talk about, I don't know if Joe, you can Dean, you can see this, but I've actually got my office starting to be set up. I've got my movie memorabilia and everything. I'm so pleased with it.
It looked really? Like that. Nothing? That looked like that. No, it looked like it took minutes of work, and I think you should be very proud of that.
These bookshelves said it took an hour to put them together, and I did them in under four, so I was actually quite pleased.
Goddamn IKEA.
Schlunkenflagen? What the hell's a Schlunkenflagen?
Could have been from Argos. It would have taken you 4 months to arrive.
Now, that's a joke I don't think our American friends are going to get, because they don't get Argos over there, do you?
No, we do not.
It's a catalog shop, or it used to be, but now it's all online. You used to get a book, and you'd go in with the book into the Argos store, and you'd get a pencil or a pen, which would steal.
A tiny, tiny pen, a little pen.
Yeah. It was like all about 2 inches long or 3 inches long. It was that same size as my willy. Oh, I'm going to mention that a lot. Anyway, you put down the code number on this little slip of paper, and then you key the number into a thing on the desk as well, just to double make sure that you're not going to get it. And then you take it to the counter, and you pay for it, and they say, oh, sorry, that's not in stock now, but it'll come to you maybe in the next 2 or 3 weeks, which turn into 2 or 3 months, and then maybe 4 months later, it will arrive damaged, and you'll have to send it back again. But that's usually how it works.
What I always remember about Argos is you would order something and then they would shout out what it was that you were picking up. And I remember being an older teenager and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was out. And I thought I was going to buy some of the action figures because I thought they might be worth something later on. And I remember being in Argos and somebody going, who's bought the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle toys?
I thought it was Action Turtles. Well, isn't it Teenage Brad. Mutant the, Action Turtles or Hero Turtles?
Hero
Turtle?
Turtles.
Heroes.
Ninjas fighting.
They weren't very heroic, really.
No. I just remember the pizza.
Yeah, and the rat that used to eat it, which was real hygienic. And just like Domino's. Because I don't care if I get sued. I used to work for Domino's.
It was weird because I always thought Splinter was a Japanese runner. You take your time with that.
God, I already got a headache. Jesus Christ.
Okay, so should we mention some movies? Are we going to talk about some of the news this week?
There's Alec Baldwin.
Oh, yes, there is. Yoda, you want to take us through that?
Alec Baldwin shot somebody. He's not in jail yet. End of story. the people that. The family of the lady that he killed made a weird animation that shows it's basically a CGI recreation of Alex shooting their daughter. So which I find absurdly creepy. I don't know what I mean. I guess they've pulled this from, you know, witness testimony and that sort of thing. I'm thinking, like, there were cameras all in that room. Don't they have film of this shit? Was it necessary to recreate it in CGI to get ILM in there to do all the...
Well, making this movie, if only somebody had a camera.
I know, it's bizarre. I think that's
the wasn't she the cameraman or camera woman? Did he shoot straight through the camera and shoot her?
She shot her next to the camera. So if the camera was running, I would think that...
That's a pretty good...
I mean, maybe the cameras weren't running, I guess. But, I mean, it seems like whenever there's something going on, somebody's always filming something. So why didn't... But no, they had to recreate it at Pixar. You know, you had Woody and Buzz in the background, you know, and the A14114, whatever the Easter egg is in there, and Alec Baldwin murdering somebody. So, family fun.
They're also, the DA also said that they don't believe that he pulled the trigger, that you can just cock a gun and if you thumb slips, it'll go off. Not true. Impossible on that gun. Even if you don't have your finger on the trigger holding it back and you cock it and it slips out of your hand, it'll just fall to a half, you know, to this half cock position. It's a safety.
No, it's a safety. Sorry. No, I disagree with that. There was a scene in True Lies where she dropped the gun down the stairs killed loads of people.
That's true, Sean.
You make a pretty compelling case. I don't know where to go with that.
These things are like mouse traps, you know. You drop them and they just go ballistic, and then they set off ones not anywhere near it. They'll start going off.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
like dominoes falling.
They're very sensitive things.
I was going to say, as a British person, that is what I firmly believe.
Well, I don't want to disillusion you of your long-held.
I see no reason why. I learned all my science and physics and engineering from movies.
James Cameron.
Guns just kill people on their own, don't they, in America?
Yes. Apparently. Some SUVs, but that's a whole different deal.
Yeah. I was going to say, not
an SUV if you're rich, then that's fine.
Right.
True.
Oh, do you know what? In the chat, we've already been corrected by some Mad Inc. 1. It said camera person. Yeah, not camera woman or camera man. Camera person.
I'm so sorry that I said something incorrect. I'll flog myself later.
You didn't know that person's gender identity, so you made a big mistake.
Yeah, terrible.
I think he was Russian as well.
Yes, she was, or Ukrainian, or one of those places.
That really, that's why Putin's going mad at the moment in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Over this.
Well, at this point, she's transitioned into room temperature, so I'm not sure that any of this is a reasonable argument anymore.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Hey, and we've just had Eggy join us. Eggy is one of the new contributors at the Last Movie Outpost. Hello, Eggy. We will get him back on at some point in time.
Yeah, get a but real microphone, Eggy, and you can get back on.
Well, it's not just that, but also, but he keeps going on about his family's more important.
I know.
if he could do something about that thing on the top of his head, I don't know, you know. I want to, you know, face, is that the right word for, but I don't know in his case.
Hey, that's an English thing, and we're proud of it, all right?
It looks like his throat threw up, so I don't know what.
This is a pot calling the kettle black kind of moment for all of us. So I think we better kind of tread lightly throwing out those little barbs.
I was going to say, Sean has got no hair but a beard, so it looks like he's put his head on upside down.
Yeah, right? He's been doing the whole Tim Pool beanie thing for so long. I was.
It's cold.
You were kind of shocking me there.
Yeah, it's cold in the mountains.
So we did mention that what we're going to do is actually talk about some of the films that we've seen, because some that have hit streaming now, which are quite prolific and quite big, I think we could probably say. I have seen the new Scream. Sean, you have watched Licorice Pizza.
I did.
Dean, you have seen the new Texas Chainsaw in Massacre.
Yep.
And Yoda, you watched My Little Pony 2, didn't you?
Many, many times.
No, have you seen anything new this week?
I watched, I shotgunned Peacemaker.
Oh, okay. So we can talk about, or well, we can discuss all four
is that,
of those.
Are you talking about the George Clooney movie from back in the day?
With Nicole Kidman.
No, yeah, because I was like, what is Peacemaker? I have never even heard of this.
So you saw Suicide Squad, didn't you?
No.
The one with James Gunn, the one James Gunn did with the giant starfish and everything.
The Suicide Squad.
The Suicide Squad. I'm sorry. Yes.
It's Sylvester Stallone as a shark.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. Nom, nom, nom.
Yeah. Well, they played to his strengths as far as dialogue. But they took the John Cena character, gave him his own show. And it's all done. It's very James Gunn. I don't know. You want me to get into this, or you want to wait and let you guys? I don't care.
Oh no, we can talk about it. I must admit, I have seen it. I've seen it on streaming, but I have not had any inclination to watch it whatsoever. I thought the Suicide Squad was good fun. You know, it was a decent movie, but there was nothing about Peacemaker that made me think, "Oh, I want to see a whole series about him."
Well, at the risk of insulting Mr. Gunn. And I don't want this to seem like anything about his personal life or anything like that, but he's starting to remind me a little bit of Joss Whedon in terms of how Whedon always has his Whedonisms in the movies or in his shows. Yeah. The dialogue in this show, it's kind of like when you watch Guardians of the Galaxy for 2 hours, you enjoy it and they have a few moments and then it moves on with the story. But when you're doing 8 hours, these things just start piling up, these little comedy conversations that they have that are clearly written by Gunn in the way they start arguing about just mundane, dumb stuff. And then they get back to what they're actually talking about, you know. It's like, well, why did you say it like that? Well, you should have said sarcasm before you said it. Well, what is that supposed to be? And then they just go on like on this little tangent for about, you know, 3 minutes. And then they get back to the actual plot of the story. And that kind of stuff kind of gets old for me real quick.
I know what you mean about James Gunn, because, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Guardians. I thought he was great. Guardians of the Galaxy was great. And I still rate the second one as well. But they are quite just formulaic in the way he does things.
Yeah, he loves to put one of the characters, for whatever reason, inside a giant creature. So, like in Guardians 2, you had Drax inside the octopus weird monster.
Mm.
And then in the Suicide Squad, you had Harley Quinn inside the giant eyeball starfish.
Yeah,
swimming around. And in this one, they have a giant caterpillar cow that's getting milked, and they figure out a way to fire a woman into it, and then she falls out and gets covered with gore. It's like, there seems to be a thing with Gunn where he likes to put his characters inside giant creatures and then fall out, and it's supposed to be funny, but after the fourth or fifth time you see it, you go, okay, I get it, you know. And then there's He has a real problem with fathers, because all his stuff has something to do with fathers.
Well, it's pretty clear that James Gunn grew up without one.
He either grew up without one or he had a really shitty one. I'm not sure which, but there's a lot of that father stuff in there. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a cut above a lot of the stuff you see. And what's funny is that the enemy is communism. It's a bunch of hive-minded bug creatures that dig into your brain and take over and turn you into somebody else. You know, like when you send your kid to college and she comes back with purple hair and starts talking about the patriarchy.
Yeah.
And Cena is like, or Peacemaker is like this real, he's America. He's crass, obnoxious, but his heart's in the right place, you know? And I said, yeah, that's pretty much America. Yeah.
So if if the bad guy is communist again, is this why Putin is on the Ukraine border? Just because he doesn't like Peacemaker? Or is it a bit more subtle than that?
My first question is it overtly meant to be communism, or is this their take on this is supposed to be like the Christian right wing?
I think they put this stuff in there like they're making the bad guys say we're going to save you from yourselves and try to do things before you kill yourselves and climate change and all that. I mean, this is what the bad guy was saying, okay? But they made it look like she's really altruistic about it. But then Peacemaker just shoots her and kills, and you know, and says we'll make our own decisions. I'm like going, if this is supposed to be woke, you just defeated the woke. So I don't know where, you know, I know he went through his own bullshit with the jokes that he made on Twitter that got him semi-canceled and then brought back. So maybe he's kind of like sticking it to the hive-minded morons out there.
Nah, it's got to be unintentional. He I guarantee you he intended that to be something else, and it's like
it's possible. I mean, I agree. I know his politics, so that doesn't make sense. But I mean, this is the woke, right? Everything they do, they fail at. Even when trying to show that woke is great, they end up failing at it because those were the bad guys, and Peacemaker was the hero. So dumbasses, you. Just undermine your message if that's what you're going for. And if that's not what you're going for, then well done. You just defeated communism and hive-minded morons, cultists. So I'm kind of on the fence. You know, I'm like, what he intended and what actually was on the screen, maybe two different things. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's not deep enough or serious enough to really get too much into that. It's he has his nice moments of drama and emotional moments and that kind of thing, but it's kind of like what happened with Ragnarok. Things get too undercut by the humor, and I think he went like I think part of this is it's the difference between a 2-hour movie and an 8 episode 45 to 50 minute episode each show that he's trying to do. I was entertained. I liked it. I give it a 3 stars out of 5, maybe 2.5. I know a lot of people love it and are going crazy by it. I don't know why. I think it was perfectly fine. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't awful. It's entertaining, but it's not amazing either. And it's very difficult to understand John Cena's dialogue with China's dick in his mouth the entire time. So there's that.
It's DC, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, one thing I got to give the DCEU, the MCU is very, there is a window, a small window of tone, of serious to comedic. Yeah. And it doesn't really cross those lines. There is a hard border. And so all the MCU movies are going to feel kind of the same in tone if you watch them all. The, you know, sometimes they get a little more serious like Winter Soldier. Sometimes they get really jokey like Ant-Man or Guardians. Mm-hmm. But they never stray too far from inside that range, if you want to call it that. While the DCEU doesn't give a fuck, we're going to do Batman v Superman. It's going to be a dour slog. We're going to do Peacemaker, and it's going to be an insane romp. We're going to do Aquaman. It's going to be action. We're going to do, we don't care. We're just going to throw it up on the screen. We'll do Shazam. It'll be like a kid's movie. It's all the same universe. You couldn't tell, but we don't give a fuck. DCEU, we don't give a fuck.
I mean, I know Deadpool's not in there, but I mean, Deadpool is sort of part of that Marvel sort of universe, the X-Men and everything else. And I think I watched Deadpool 2 again the other day because I just haven't seen it for a long time, and I watched it through, and he's hilariously funny for somebody of my age. But I did keep thinking that, you know, kids who like Iron Man and Captain America thinking, oh, can we watch Deadpool? And the parents just being absolutely horrified at the gore and the violence and how completely over the top it is. It really made me laugh.
I mean, it's the one thing the DCEU is doing. Now, of course, what you get is going to be wildly hit or miss, right?
Yeah.
I mean, some of it's just really awful, like the first Suicide Squad movie. And then you get to the second Suicide Squad movie, it's pretty good. I think the new Justice League was reasonable. I don't like Man of Steel. I don't like Batman v Superman. But I like some of the things that they were trying in it. It just, you know, execution-wise, it didn't work. Shazam, I loved. Aquaman, I wasn't sure why it was such a hit, but it was fine, you know. It's all over the board. They just seem to be just scattershot. We'll just throw anything and hopefully it makes money.
Yeah. Because then even saying that, I mean, again, not that it's part of the canon and everything else, but then you had to throw in the mix like Joker, which again was a completely different tone and style of everything.
Yeah, and I don't even know if that's DCEU or not. I have no idea what the hell that is. I don't think Batman is either.
Because goodness, I mean, I let's talk about that then for a bit, just to go on to that, because the Batman is coming out soon. And we've had a few trailers now. We've had a look at the Penguin. What are... sorry, I just got a point out there in the comments. I was waiting for Eggy Weggies to say about... Don't mention Man of Steel or Batman versus Superman.
He's out of here.
But the new Batman then. So you're saying that... I've tried to keep away from it as much as possible because I am quite looking forward to seeing it. But you're saying it's not then part of the DCU.
I don't think it is. I mean, I can't absolutely be certain, but I mean, it's, as far as I know, it's a whole new cast and everything. So different Gordon, different everybody. So, you know, but that, you know, they got the Flash movie coming out where they're going to have Michael Keaton in it, but they're going to have J.K. Simmons as Commissioner Gordon. And I guess maybe they're doing their own multiversal crossover bullshit. So, who knows? I don't care.
I mean, obviously, you know, we've got to mention the whole fact that what Marvel did, that they had a plan and they stuck to it, and even the TV series all tied in and it all tied up nicely at Endgame. But DC are still just flailing behind in trying to get something together, but it's just not working yet.
Well, you know, it's pretty clear they started out with that darker tone to be like, oh, we're not going to be the breezy Marvel style, we'll set ourselves apart. And then that didn't work, and it seemed like there was a rush to try to Marvelize the tone of their movies, and then that it seemed like a mess, and I don't know.
Yeah, they've been trying to play catch-up to Marvel. And quite frankly, if you think about it, all these ones that may have a shared universe, I mean, there's not that many, but a few... None of them have worked. The shared Mummy universe had one movie and died. You know, I mean, there's the DCEU has been the most successful, but it really hasn't gotten anywhere. And I think they were trying some things with some other stuff, and I can't even remember what right at the top of my head. But very little of it is working for whatever reason. So I don't know. I mean. Look, just make a decent movie, and that's all I'm asking for at this point, please. Just make something that's worth a shit.
In the comments again, Eggy Wiggy has just said that the Batman is an independent, like Joker was an independent movie.
Wait a minute. He said he was leaving. Now he's alive.
Just because I mentioned if he really, it's not Voldemort, you can say the words, man, dude.
No. If you want to get him to leave, you just sort of say Henry Cavill was a crap Superman. Bye, Eggy. I do want to say I take that back because he wasn't. He was a very good Superman.
He's going to be the new Connor McLeod in Highlander 2, apparently. Not Eggy, but.
Goodness me, no.
They're bringing back Highlander again?
Oh, yeah. And what's his name? Superman is going to play.
Henry Cavill's playing him.
Yeah, that is a movie that does not need remade.
I wonder if he'll do the accent like Christopher Lambert did in the original.
I hope so.
No, I am a true Highlander. It's like really awful.
Well, Highlander, I'm from Spain, and let me tell you about this crazy land you have here called Scotland. I've never seen anything like it. What's this Haggis you talk impression. About? I mean, the song in Highlander is Who Wants to Live Forever, and I'm beginning to realize that if you do, all you will see is the same shit over and over and over again. Mm. So no, I don't want to live forever now.
Who knew that would be the true price of immortality? Not yeah. not seeing your loved ones.
Highlander 27. Oh, fuck me.
Remakes.
There can be only one. I know, there can be only one. Whatever, let's get on with this.
Yeah, you liars. There can be only 27, apparently, you lying bastards.
I've just got to mention for the chat again, Badlink has just said, by the way, the Dawn of the Dead poster is better than any of the fake movie props Yoda and NGL have.
Well, I try to be a man of culture, so.
First of all, these are not fake. It's not like I have a green screen back here. I bought this shit. Look at what I got here. I would put my.
I killed a stormtrooper. I got.
Play on its head like a the little teddy bear.
I put up our initials here. Dum, dum. So screw you. Dum, 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 dum.
That's good TV well, right there.
You can't beat that, can you? So let's move on to something else, and let's also bring in Dean because he's been awfully quiet with us. Are you still with us, Dean?
He fled.
Oh yeah.
Oh, there you go. So you've watched
what the hell the DC universe is?
It does. It's just some comic book crap.
It doesn't matter.
So Dean was telling us about Texas Chainsaw Massacre and before we started, but Dean, if you don't mind, Dean, can you recount some of that stuff he was telling us about how people are getting the point of the movie wrong, so to speak?
Just before you start, Dean, try and keep it spoiler-free, because I know I haven't seen it yet, but I am quite looking forward to it. So try and keep it spoiler-free if possible.
Because they've all become Pope's angel. Well, let's go with the polarization. It's all the usual suspects, all the gatekeepers of the genre, all the normies and just people who like films love it. And the reason is, because it's in the trailers, you'll see that the characters are instantly dislikable because they're all wokies, which makes Leatherface kind of a hero. You know, he personifies the horror genre going right back to 1974. He's like, horror is now wiping out the wokies who have tried to ruin horror for everybody since they've been involved in it for about the last 10 years. They gatekeep everything. They gatekeep the magazines. They gatekeep the websites. They don't want horror films like this to ever get anywhere. But this one snuck through. And it's very entertaining.
I saw the scene where the gore in it is top notch. Where they said, try anything, you're canceled, bro. And they're all filming him. He comes in, he's covered in blood and shit. And he's holding a chainsaw. And he's got the skin mask on. And they're like, hey, try anything, you're canceled, bro. I'm like, okay. All right. This is what we're doing, huh? Okay.
It's pretty obvious. It's obvious whose side you're supposed to be on there. Because we hate those people.
Yeah.
All those people that go on about cancel culture and global warming, the other myths that they put out there, you can be one gender or another, and, you can't. All the stuff, these people, as soon as they open their mouths in a film, as soon as the character opens their mouth about that, you just know they're cannon fodder. And brilliant. Because people hate them. You'll never see a woke film with woke people in that you think that was really good.
Last year Karen came out and I was quite impressed.
They kind of suck the audience in, the usual Netflix blue check marks on Twitter who would be sitting there watching it, with all these characters that are all influencers and wokies, and they've come to gentrify this old ghost town in Texas. That's how it starts. And they're just because they're YouTubers and they're influencers and all that, you instantly hate them. Even the way they speak, they all say they're super. super excited and super thrilled. Everything's got to be super something because, you know, they word like really or very. And they don't just like things. They have to be obsessed with things. You know, it's like I'm obsessed with it. Well, they don't actually use that line, but I'm just referring to somebody else who I see a lot online. I hate the way that they speak.
Yeah, the super has been. I don't know why. That was something I used when I was like a kid.
As soon as you see these characters,
I was going to say that. So does
in Britain they caught on.
We are having audio problems. Are you guys having it?
Yeah,
too?
I think there's a little bit of a delay on Dean, and then it's breaking up for some reason. Yeah. Are you hearing us all right, Dean?
I think it's the wind.
Netflix knows Britain. You're going to talk bad about them. So
I've got it.
Bad storm of it. So do we see Leatherface? The only question I want to ask is, do we see Leatherface kill a Karen?
Yeah, we've got. Sort of.
Okay. Like I say, it sounds like this may be the start of some kind of revolution.
A little old man who looks like me. Point, which is...
Dean, I think we're losing you, man.
Yeah, you're losing you a little bit. Somebody has said, though, that you sound a little bit like Stephen Hawking.
It's not really a little old man who looks like me. It's supposed to be a woman who does look just like me.
Oh, okay.
I've got to say, I think I'm a bit sold on this. If it is going to be a load of woke influencers being killed.
I believe we're about to lose him.
Can we move all right now?
Yeah, I hear you pretty good right now.
Have you stood on the chair?
The buffering.
Oh, yeah.
Is it buffering? Well, it's like, if I...
There's a considerable delay, apparently, from what we say and you hear.
Somebody said call Dean an ambulance.
Is there any way to get back into this with clicking another link or something? Because it's because Sean,
have you got another laptop?
Sean can add me on the Skype.
Just disconnect there, Dean, and we'll try calling you back, and maybe that'll.
Or you can rejoin call.
All right.
Yeah, we'll rejoin it there.
If you call me back on the Skype, because you're already in one, then it should come through on my Skype, which is, this is like a web browser version, so it's weird.
Oh. Well, you're sounding good now. Hold on, you're sounding pretty good now. You hearing us?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's continue, because apparently it cleared up.
All right. So, here we go. You do see Leatherface, but he doesn't kill a Karen. Did that go through?
Yeah, you're good.
But he almost kills a Karen. He kills quite a lot of people. I'd say at least 60, and I'm sure there's a Karen or two among them.
That's pretty good.
Karen, because I don't know
I cannot wait for the Skype end message to say rate this call, because you're breaking up again there, Dean. Sorry, mate.
They were like horrible people. Alice Cree, she's Leatherface's mother for all of Viking, and
this top-notch content this time, isn't it?
It should just come through the Skype.
I'll just
click out of this, and then like I'll see if Sean can call me.
We'll come back to Dean in just a second.
We'll come back to you there.
Well, I'll talk about then, if you like, Scream, which is
wait a minute. I have to address the point where you didn't want Dean to spoil Texas Chainsaw Massacre for you, a movie where you know that all is going to happen is Leatherface is going to kill people. So were you afraid that Dean would tell you that Leatherface was going to kill a bunch of people and ruin the movie?
No, but just like, don't spoil how good some of the kills might be or something. I can still look forward to them, you know? I mean, the story's not been spoiled or anything, so no, I'm okay.
And then Leatherface started a non-profit organization. Yeah. Really, really threw me at the end.
Do you know what? I did not see that coming. I saw the new Scream 5. Now, my take on Scream is, the first Scream I thought was very clever. Very well done, very well scripted. Turned everything meta, sort of almost broke that fourth wall almost. And I thoroughly enjoyed the first one. Second one, I will say this as well, that I have watched all four of these before the fifth one. But yeah, the fourth one was, the second one was, okay, so, you know, mother wants to get revenge, right, okay, fine. Third one, couldn't tell you who the killer was. But I mean, the third one was Sidney Bristow runs around being chased by Ghostface and people die. Much like the fourth one. Which
that sums it up pretty good.
Yeah. This new Scream is...
I gotta go, guys. I'll be right back in a second.
Okay. This fifth one was exactly the same premise of Ghostface runs around killing everybody, but they go even more meta, if that was possible. They actually say about, because they keep basing it on these movies, the in movies called Stab, which is supposed to be the Scream, the sort of fictional version of Scream in the movie, if that makes sense.
Right.
And they keep saying about how Scream 8 was terrible, and apparently it was directed by Rian Johnson, and all the fanboys were crying about it and everything else. And at this point, I was actually quite, I don't want to say offended, like really annoyed, because it was kind of, they were taking my pain and making fun of it, because to me Rian Johnson did ruin Star Wars and I did cry about it. And so they kind of went on about that, and then but the end
what's
of the movie,
disgusting is the idea that they are leaking the Stab franchise on the same level as like the Star Wars franchise or James Bond or something. I don't think that it would be that highly regarded any more than Scream is. Scream's fine. It's just, I don't really care about it.
No. And ultimately, that is what the problem with this is. In this movie, Sidney Bristow's friends get chased around by Ghostface and people get stabbed. And that is the premise of the first... Say it's 90 minutes long. I can't remember how long it was. That's the first 80 minutes. And then the last 10 minutes is a complete and utter carbon copy of the first Scream. Carbon copy. With the killers explaining the plots. They're even in the same house. They even bring it down to the same house. And it was just... I have such
nostalgia for murder.
Well, no, because apparently they wanted to get famous off the back of what, you know, the original Stu in, I can't think of his name. Of
them, isn't that what the point of the last one was? I guess they all are kind of like that. We want to get famous, although at least one of the killers wants to get famous. Some of them want to get revenge on Sydney for some reason. I don't know. I don't.
Which, I mean, the first one, I do kind of get the whole reason why he was doing it, because his mother got branded I can't even remember now. Not like it matters. But this one was a soft reboot in the style of The Force Awakens, but the ending was a complete and utter, literally genuinely carbon copy of the end of the first one. It was even down to the final shot and everything else. And to me, I wanted to believe it was clever, but in my heart, I know it was just lazy, puked up. Here we go. Here's another one. Eat this, everyone. And now there's going to be another one. And I'm guessing, again, in the next one, Sidney Bristow is going to get chased around by Ghostface, not Leatherface, that's the other one, and people are going to get stabbed.
Maybe this time Ghostface can be chasing after her, but he's like a Jehovah's Witnesses. Can I talk to you about our Lord and Savior? Can I interest you in an Amway franchise?
To be honest, at some point in time they will kill Sidney Bristow, but it still will be related to her in some way or shape or form.
One would hope that maybe they kill this freaking franchise.
It was just, I genuinely could not understand A, why they made it, and B, why people are out there actually loving it. A friend is somebody who I now know, I would call him a friend. He's seen it twice in the cinema. And I can't get through my head why.
I didn't even see it the first time. I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know if it's any good or not. It's one of those that's like, nope, wait for streaming.
We're on Scream now, are we?
Yes. I was just saying about how it's completely and utterly a remake of the first one as a soft reboot, but they took the mick out of people like me because they said that Stab 8 was directed by Rian Johnson and he completely ruined it.
All right. Are we doing spoilers for Scream?
Okay, we'll put up a big warning. If you haven't seen Scream and you don't want to know any spoilers, don't listen for the next few minutes.
Well, if you're going to give me an excuse not to listen to you, George, I'm going to take it.
Well,
Sean's back with us. Go on, Dean.
Well, I watched it and I can't remember any of it apart from Courtney Cox's boyfriend died in it.
Well, that was a spoiler.
and that's
it. To be fair, though, it's not really a spoiler because you knew they were going to have to kill off somebody major. It was just kind of who they were going to do, and they weren't brave enough to do Sydney or Courtney Cox's character, Gail Weathers.
But that's all I took from that film. It was like, I watched it, and it was just like, you know, watching the paint drying on the wall. And then, that happened, and then the two killers are revealed, and then it's only really one killer. But it could have been two, but it's really one. And like, it's over. And I thought, well, why did they bother? Because that was the first film. But with
Disney. And the second film.
Did
and
David
the third
Arquette,
film. And the fourth film.
Was he like, when he died, was he like, oh, thank God. I'm out. I'm free.
The final scene with David Arquette was he was hugging his agent.
Well, it could have been worse. They could have had Alexis Arquette in it. You got to think about that one because of what Alexis used to be able to do to himself, herself, itself, whatever.
Guys, my dog got loose and was trying to fight the groundhog that lives in the yard.
Who won?
Neither one of them. Not me, because I fell down. I fell down the mountain trying to get to them, and so they both laughed at me and stopped fighting.
That sounds like a movie I fancy watching.
That really happened.
Oh, wow. It can be based on.
Yeah.
I posted up on Facebook a while ago, what does Patricia Arquette actually do? Because I don't remember her ever being in anything, but she appears all the time.
She was in
Lost Highway.
No,
David Lynch film.
No, you're thinking. No, she was in True Romance, right? Is that the?
What's that?
True Romance.
If only there was.
None of us can remember.
If only there was some sort of network, a worldwide, you know, quick way to look up these things, some sort of device that we all would have in our hands, so we could just type it in and it would tell us. I wonder. We should invent something like that.
Well, for some reason, I just keep getting her in my news feed all the time, probably because I subscribe to her. But I don't know what she actually does, because I never see her in anything, ever. And it's like, they always claim she's an actress, and it's like, when?
Yeah, and they talk about how beautiful she is, too, and I don't see it at all. Rosanna Arquette, on the other hand, used to be.
Used to be. That was.
That's the one I confuse her with, because she was the one who was with John Boy Walton in something where she was deaf and raped by the entire town, or something like that. And then
she's
very
different than the Waltons I remember. But okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of
John Boy,
speaking of
John Boy, can you keep that screaming down?
Dean, I've been trying to convince them to do a show where we list our top five favorite rape scenes in movies, but they just won't. They won't go for it.
No. Although I did like the way you put it today, to say it, what was it, the top five non-consensual love scenes?
Yeah, well, I was trying to think of something more YouTube friendly.
I can think of five, but I wouldn't say they're my favourites. But there's the one. There's one or two in Baisse-Noir, the French film, which means rape me. And if you've got the uncut version from HMV from years back, then you get to see everything. There's another one in Flesh and Blood with Rutger Hauer, Jennifer Jason Leigh, and she goes, she says, take me, my brave soldier. So it's a bit consensual, but it is a rape.
Yeah, I think that's a contradiction of terms. If you tell somebody to rape you, that's... kind of.
No.
You've just blown it away. You've made it consensual.
No, because we all know that when women say no, they really mean yes. So it's pretty standard.
She is being held by four other people at the same time. So he's got her up off the ground, and he opens up his codpiece and everything, and he starts doing the business, and then she gets really into it, and it's weird because that's like, you know,
yeah, it's like my honeymoon.
Yeah,
isn't that kind of famous in Straw? Wasn't that some of the controversy in the original Straw Dogs, where it starts out, but then she kind of likes it, and there's like this real, you know, there's this real debate over at what point it become rape in that. You guys know what I'm talking about. You've seen that. I know Dan's seen that movie.
In that one, that was a previous boyfriend as well. You see, so
right?
That was
He owned her already, so that makes it okay, obviously.
Yeah, it was like, you know, with that muscle memory thing, you know.
Yeah, right.
Now, how are we defining rape? Because I feel like Crystal Skull in The Last Jedi, I was raped in the audience. So do those count?
Yeah, that counts.
Okay.
The Last Jedi, my childhood.
And Blade Runner. Blade Runner's another one where he just sort of, you know, Deckard grabs whatever her name is, Sean Young.
Rachel. But she's not human, though, so does that count?
Yeah, but
you're raping a toaster. What's the big
you're
deal?
He's raping a fleshlight, basically. I don't know if...
If you rape a toaster,
then again, he's
one everything
as well.
You get.
He's one as well. So
well, I haven't said on bagels, so it's fine.
No. Deckard is not a replicant.
Yes, he is.
No, it defeats the whole purpose of the story. Batty saves him, showing that he is more human than human by rescuing
human. That was pretty much decided in 2049. He was clearly that he was human.
Yeah. Well, he's human. Everybody but Ridley Scott thinks he's human. And we know Ridley Scott's performance lately. So, he's been obsessed with these... AI and all this kind of stuff for the last 10 years, and he's retroactively tried to make it.
It's because you stick a scene from Labyrinth or whatever that freaking movie he did with Tom Cruise.
Legend.
Just because he sticks that unicorn scene in there and says, oh, yeah, I had this all planned all along. Get bullshit.
Yeah.
Liar.
The best rape scene. I've got it. This is really controversial, but you just brought up his name, so it's really good. Alien, John Hurt, and the face hugger.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that's true. That is technically
that
right.
That's the one that they all go on about where
raping,
you know, a
my
man
face!
Being penetrated.
Couldn't you make I think there's a good argument to be made that when Ash is holding down Ridley Scott and he takes that magazine and rolls it up and is trying to stick it down in her mouth. I'm telling you, there's a very good argument could be made that was a very sexual attack by the android on Ripley in that scene. You know what I'm talking about?
Hey, what about James Bond and Pussy Galore in the stable?
Well, that's another case of means yes, so I don't think.
She was
up for it, wasn't she? She was definitely up.
Obviously.
That Thunderball is like...
She's not going to say no, is she? You know.
Have sex with me or you'll lose your job in Thunderball.
Yeah.
What they need to do is in future is to sort it all out, is to always make sure somebody at both parties have signed a consent form.
Yeah.
Just like Cherry 2000.
If you haven't got a consent form, then it's rape.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if it's Sean Connery, look, I'm heterosexual, but I would have let him. I would have been bragging about it afterwards. I would have been skipping down the street. I would have been signing autographs, you know.
Been dining out on that for months. About that. I have.
All right. Go to a who raped you? Bond. James Bond. You
know? Hang on. I can do an impression. Hello, my name's Bond. James Bond. Yep, that was it.
Did you ever see the Saturday Night Live where Bond is in the doctor, and the doctor says, "All right, well, it looks like you have 735 different venereal diseases here. We're really not sure what's holding you together anymore."
I always thought that a good bad guy for a Bond would be one of his bastard sons who has come to kill him.
That is, you know, that's actually a pretty good idea.
You know, just no reason for taking over the world or anything else. It's just you shagged my mum, got her pregnant, and left.
Yeah,
and you know she killed herself, and so I'm now after you.
That went dark fast.
What's his name? Penis galore. Robert.
Oh, actually, saying that, can I, if I may, I've got a quick joke about Bond, which may get us into trouble, but it's not too bad. But apparently, this is about the new Bond. No. This is about the new Bond. They are looking at transitioning James Bond from a male into a female, and he is going to be having an operation in the middle of the movie, and they're going to be calling it Coctopussy. Hi, thank you.
That was pretty good. I was getting ready for a real eye-rolling groaner, but that was pretty good.
I heard that the other day, and I was quite giggling about that for a little while.
That was funny.
I want to roll my eyes, but I can't. That was great.
It was good, man. That was a good one.
So let's get back on. Let's get off Sean's topic, because we should never have ever touched it. But Sean, why don't you tell us about Licorice Pizza, Paul Thomas Anderson's new movie?
Yeah, it's. I think it's. Very well could be his best movie. It's great. It's got a little bit. So the characters in it, it's basically just you follow this boy and a girl over a period of 4 or 5 years. And it's sort of a slice of life, you could say. And it's got a lot of PTA sort of that comedy to it. The characters, it's very much, you know, his kind of movie. It's got some throwbacks too, I think, very subtle things in it to some of his other movies. And one thing I really liked, and I wasn't sure at first, but it's pretty obvious as it goes on, but there's a scene in it that even kind of pays homage to Taxi Driver, but kind of, you know, tweaked, make it funny. But it's great. If I'd seen it before this year, it would have been number one on my best of the year list for sure.
Now let me ask you, is the background is that he's 15 and she's 25?
Yeah, he meets her. Nice. He's getting ready to go. Yeah, but it's not. Yeah, I know it. I know.
Imagine that was the other way around.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I know, but it's not as it's not like you think. Like your mind wants to go there, but it's not. They start out sort of, he's hitting on her because he's this overconfident. He's a child actor, and he's pretty successful like child actor at the time. And he starts coming on to her and just kind of wears her down, and they're like friends. And you follow them, and they clearly like each other. He obviously has the hots for her, but she's, you know, keeps it friendly. And you see them sort of go back and forth, and they start a kind of a business together. And it's funny because they end up like almost like a married couple, the way they're around each other, but then they get mad and she's always meaner than hell to him. And, of course by the end, you know, it's a happy ending, but it's great. There's nothing about, if you start watching it, you know,
no, I like PTA, and, I like most of what he's done. Did he do Almost Famous? Was that him too? Or is that somebody else?
No, that's
Cameron Crowe, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'd say it's a really neat mix of like Boogie Nights and Punch Drunk Love. It's kind of it's got elements of both of those in. It's got sort of that comedy from Boogie Nights, and then it's got the, you know, the very earnest love story from Punch Drunk Love kind of thing in it. I liked it a lot. There's no woke in it either. That's one thing. There's none of that in it at all. It's pretty good. Retroactively, it's my favorite movie of last year.
I do want to see it. I just haven't had the opportunity yet. I'm probably going to try it this week.
I watched another one called Bloody Hell that I reviewed on the website, and that is a hell of a lot of fun that you guys got to check out too. And I watched the Ted Kaczynski biopic with what's his name, Sharto Copley playing Uncle Ted.
Yeah, I know
and
you mean.
It's pretty good. It's sort of an art house movie and very, it's not a hit piece, but it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, she heard a dog. Sorry, guys.
Somebody said on the chat, well, did you hear a dog? And yes, it was, what's your dog? What's your dog called, Sean?
Zoe.
It wasn't Zoe, your dog. Okay. It was mine.
Mm.
Oh, was it? Oh, sorry. Right. Yeah. Fair enough.
So anyway, that Ted K is pretty good. I think that just, I forget what platform, it's streaming, but I forget which one of them it's out on, but you know, you can find it. And it's pretty good too. I'd recommend it, but it's not like a hard recommend or anything.
So I've been watching, English, no good. So the other two I've been watching that I've really gotten into that I think are really good are Yellowstone and its spinoff, 1883.
My mom loves Yellowstone. You and her got a lot in common, apparently, in your taste. And
I've been hearing about it, and I said, I'll give it a try. And I was kind of shocked at how good it was. And one of the reasons I bring it up, because we always talk about strong female characters, the daughter of Kevin Costner's character, she's fiercely loyal to her father. She says the damnedest things in this show. She is extraordinarily feminine and yet extraordinarily strong. And like a lot of women whine, like, oh, if we're tough, they'd call us bossy. Nobody would call her this. Nobody would say this about her. She never comes across as masculine, but she is as strong and tough and she is the most interesting thing on that show. And there's a lot of interesting things on that show. It's a good show overall.
In a nutshell, with that Yellowstone, what's it about? Because all I've heard is the title, that's it.
So John Dutton is like the fifth or fourth generation owner of the Dutton Ranch, and they call it the Yellowstone Dutton Ranch, and it's right next to Yellowstone Park or very close to it. And he owns this ranch that's been in his family for generations in Montana, and it's like the size of Rhode Island. It's an enormous ranch, hundreds of thousands of acres. And he breeds cattle on it, and he's just trying to keep it. Well, and this is truly happening. There's a lot of land prices just go up. And one of the problems he's having is that if at some point the taxes on the land will be more expensive than what he could actually do on the land and keep it. Raising cattle and selling cattle and all that kind of stuff is just not going to be enough. And then there's a lot of he's very powerful in the state, so he has he was like the head of the BLM, which is not Black Lives Matter, but instead the Bureau of Land Management in Montana. And so they're like the livestock cops, which is a big deal in that area because people are stealing cattle. They're it's like old West problems, but in a modern. A modern time setting, because everybody has cell phones and that kind of stuff.
Weirdly enough, when you're talking, it sounds like, I mean, I live in a sort of rural community, and it's the kind of thing that we see happening over here.
Yeah,
that farmers are finding it difficult to cope because of just everything that's going on.
And you got big giant corporations trying to buy up the land and put in ski resorts and airports and things like that, and grow Montana.
Sorry. Just quickly to interrupt, I don't think we're live anymore because it looks like the little red light's gone out on live. So I don't know whether people can see us.
I'm watching us on, it's fine. I'm watching us on two.
Oh, is it?
It seems okay.
Barely. Oh, okay. So frozen for some reason.
Created by that Tyler Sheridan, who has never made a bad product yet. He's the guy that wrote
He wrote Sicario 1 and 2, Wind River, which is an excellent movie. He directed that. I think that's his directorial debut, too. And Hell or High Water, great stuff. He just constantly turns out great stuff. Greedy real world stuff, but...
Yeah, you know, and it's a hard-hitting, you know, I mean, it's almost like cowboy mafia sometimes, but they're not really as... Well, they certainly break the law a lot, and they've killed people, but they're not like they just want to keep their way of life. They're not like the mafia trying to run illegal drugs or something like that, you know. But so it's a little bit of the Old West type stuff, a little bit of a mob picture in some ways, but with cowboys. And then, you know, a lot of people might compare it to Succession. Because, you know, his son's, you know, he's getting older and his son's going to take it over. His grandson he's trying to form a relationship with. You have the Indian reservation that it believes it's their land and the white man took it over. But they work within the system and they, you know, they play politics and all this kind of stuff. It's a very complex show. It's well done. The characters are a lot of fun. And then 1883 is actually the story of the first generation of Duttons making the trip from Texas to Montana. And the whole first season so far is them. They get kind of pulled in with Sam Elliott's crew who has decided to take on this group of immigrants, these German immigrants, to find their way to land that they can stake and have their own. And you know, they arrive in Fort Worth. How they got there I don't know, but that's kind of where it starts, and working their way up from there. And I'm telling you, anybody who wants to say that the Old West was romantic or whatever, you watch this, like every bad effing thing that can happen to these people happens to these people. Some of them don't even get out of the city because they have smallpox. Some of them get killed by bandits. They try to cross a river and some of them die. A tornado comes through and wipes out most of their wagons. It's like, it is the worst. And it's like anybody who thought the Old West was, you know, like there was some sort of romanticism to it. You watch 1883 and be like, thank God for fucking indoor plumbing. And cars. And you start really appreciating the lifestyle you get to lead now, because it was horrifying back then.
Sounds like a more greedy version of Lonesome Dove miniseries, kind of the way you kind of describe it there.
Yeah, right now all it is them just take the wagon train and taking the trail up north. And they don't even know if they're going to make it through the winter. They haven't even gotten to winter yet, but they don't, you know, when they say, well, it's June, it's like, we're running out of time. It's like, well, you say winter, it doesn't come until November. Yeah. When you have covered wagons and horses and you don't have cars and you don't have a house, you don't have any heating and you hope that fires will run, but you're in the Great Plains. So there's no effing trees anywhere. You're going to be screwed if you don't move it, you know?
Chad is accusing you of rambling.
I just saw that.
Have you not watched this show before? This is what I do. This is my thing.
Just let him go. He'll burn himself out. Just be trusted. Tonight, he is going to sleep like a baby.
That's right. This is how I get it all out of my system, because I got to be nice at work, you know? This is where all my F-bombs come out and everything else.
In the chat, somebody mentioned a Serbian movie. I don't know why.
He thinks that's like some kind of very hardcore movie. Bless his heart. He probably thinks that's like the most gruesome thing out there. But
no, Serbian movie was nowhere near as funny as the book.
I love the cartoon myself.
I always get a laugh out of people that bring up Serbian film. Like that's the. I'm like, oh. If you could only see my movie collection.
I don't know. Serbian movie was pretty bad.
Dean will tell you that it's really not that bad if he's still there.
I'd be interested to know then, because I do like my controversial movies.
I mean, there's stuff out there like Necromantic 1 and 2. And you know,
I've seen them on my list, and I've been tempted to watch them, but I think I put one of them on, but the style of it I didn't get.
Well,
and so I,
that's kind of the thing you get when you go to that, you know, when you're when you level. Get to that kind of genre, you know, you're not don't expect the Coen Brothers
high budget production values.
Yeah.
Paramount, yes, we want
when,
this one.
When you see a woman take a corpse and use a tube as its penis so she can have sex with it, don't expect it to look like Michael Mann shot it on digital, you know.
So, right, not to go too down this road, but
please,
I the other day
get us
I thought
back
no, no.
out this road right now.
No, don't worry. I'm going to take this in your direction.
I heard corpse speaking penis. Of, I'm done. I'm out.
I decided to watch the other day because it came across one of my lists, Starship Troopers again, because I hadn't seen it for a long time.
It's a good movie, man.
It's a great movie, but I'd never seen the second or third one. So I decided to watch the second one, which was horrendously bad, even though it was directed by Phil Tippett. It was awful, awful movie. But whilst I was looking for Starship Troopers 2, I found a movie called Starship Invasions from 1977, starring Robert Vaughan and Christopher Lee. In England, it was called Project Genocide, I think it was.
That sounds right up your alley.
And I thought, as I was flicking through it, I thought, that's Christopher Lee. So I put it on my watch list, and I watched it the other day, and it was horrendously bad. I mean, it was almost Plan 9 from Outer Space bad. It was Christopher Lee doesn't talk in it. He only thinks things. And I really felt for him because obviously he had to spend time with the actors walking around, but then he also had to spend time in the audio booth doing all the lines of what he could hear. And I just thought, my God, he's, you know, it was, and like I say, Robert Vaughan, it was horrendously bad, but it was so bad. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But that started off just, I don't know where I was going with this, but I'm going to finish with this. I started off with this. Basically, a hubcap on a piece of string flying over a farmer as a spaceship. This guy comes out with like basically.
Hey man, I'm lost. Is this Starship Troopers 2?
Yeah. I was like, where? What?
No. Starship Troopers 2 is all about how the bugs infect people and make them do weird
stuff. I was just
going
to say, I mean, hubcaps on strings, I don't think it had that kind of budget.
No, this is still Starship Invasions.
Gotcha.
But this farmer's on a tractor and he sees this hubcap which lands, and this man comes out with a black lycra outfit with only his face showing, and they take him onto this spaceship. They analyze his brain with this torch I can only describe, and then this beautiful naked woman comes out, and they, you don't see it, but he has to have sex with her. Right, I am sat there going, what is going? And then they drop him off, and he ends up killing himself because he was so traumatized by the experience. I'd have been out in the field waving at the spaceship to try and make them land again, but that's just me.
A dollar bill in her cheese string. This is awesome.
There was a scene where this family gets kidnapped by the hubcap. And there's a husband and a mother and a young boy. We see for some reason the mother in her underwear, but we don't see what happens to the kid and the dad. And it was just, it's weird because when you think of Christopher Lee, you think of Sauron, or you think of Dracula, or you think of Count Dooku to a lesser extent. But you know, you think of this wonderfully brilliant actor, but there is so much crap that he made as well, which is obviously just a paycheck.
He did well. I mean, you know. Summer homes don't build themselves.
It was, and like I say, Robert Vaughan as well. You know, I've always liked Robert Vaughan. He's always been, you know, generally sort of high up there on my estimations. And it was terrible.
Speaking of older movies, there last night I finally got to see one that I've been trying to track down for a long time. It never did have a VHS or a DVD release. It's called The Farmer, and it's made in 1977, and it's a exploitation. Or sort of a B movie, grindhouse movie. So it's got, you know, violence, and it's sort of got the slow, padded out pacing to it. But I'd heard so much about it over the years. You know, it's like, because you couldn't find it. And it popped up on the website I used to watch stuff. Because they're getting ready to release a Blu ray. It must have come out in Europe or something, and somebody snatched it. But it was pretty good. So this guy comes back from World War II to his land, he's broke, the bank's about to repossess his farm, and a a mobster gets drunk and wrecks on the road in front of it, and he saves him. And so this guy, you know, gets to know him that way. And then, anyway, through a series of events, he gets a mob boss blinds him. So he gets this farmer to basically go exact revenge for him. And it's pretty good. It's it didn't live up to what, you know, it had been built up to be, because I think most of the people that saw it originally forgot most of it. And, you know, they just remembered it was sort of, you know, had some violence, but it was okay. You know,
you say about stuff on VHS, the copy I found of this Starship Invaders, it started off with like a purple screen where I found it from. And then it came up and it was obviously somebody had originally filmed maybe like a 16 mil copy of it and put it on VHS, and then somebody transferred it from VHS to digital. So the quality was terrible. But at the end of the movie, because I always watch at the end, it goes purple again. And I think I could actually hear the video rewinding. And it was on there for like about 2 or 3 minutes, because I thought something else was going to happen. And it was absolutely ridiculous.
That's the problem, man. Stuff that's only like the original film of it's been lost, and people can only turn up these VHS copies, if that, and they've re-released it.
The original Star Wars.
Well, Three on a Meat Hook is a good example of a movie that it's never had a release on anything, and no home video, and it's notoriously hard to find, but I'm sure that's not probably something most people would be looking for anyway, but...
Fun for the whole family. Three on a Meat Hook. Yeah. Coming soon on Disney Plus. Is
the popcorn ready? Because the film's about to start.
But doesn't that title by itself kind of make you want to see it?
But it's funny because, like, sadly, I say, with this Starship Invaders, yeah, I saw this and I thought, that looks awful. Oh, I fancy that.
No. When did that come out? It had to be after Star Wars, right? Because they was probably trying to capitalize on that.
77.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly when, but
they ripped that one out real quick to, you know, exploit the popularity of Star Wars, no doubt.
It was funny. It was more like Plan 9 than it was. The estimated budget of it was $2.1 million in Canadian.
I don't know what that even is.
It's like 50 cents and a cup of coffee.
But yeah, like I say, now and then I come across stuff, and I think that, like you say, you just see the box cover, and like I say, the story is something utterly ludicrous, and you think, oh yeah, I'm up for that. I've just found it. Well, not found a copy, but I'll tell you who's still doing very much stuff like that is A24, the company A24.
Yeah.
And I've just found, I haven't watched it yet, but that Lamb, which I think is a story about an Icelandic couple who find a young boy with a lamb's head.
That looks... actually have birth, or the lamb birth, because the guy screws the sheep fucker.
Wait a minute. We can't talk about my favorite topic, but we can talk about a dude banging a sheep?
No, this is unfair. That's what happens in the story. It's just, the whole idea of a young boy with a lamb's head, and I'm thinking, yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah, I want to see that too. What's it called? Lamb?
It's just called Lamb. It's got Naomi Rapace in it.
Is it already out?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you know, it's one of those real pretentious up their own ass movies that doesn't really, not that great.
Oh,
I don't know. I think I'd like it.
Yeah,
you kind of killed
my enthusiasm for it when you tell me it's one of, you know, let's like that Titanium, the one I reviewed where the woman has
Titania.
She has sex with the car. I was expecting like, oh, you're real sleek. And it is kind of, but it's also very art house up its own ass. I'm like,
Funny enough, I do find there's a couple of bits and pieces that A24 have made that have been like that. Ghost Story, I couldn't get through because it was like you say, it was too arty and too up its own ass. But then something like, I watched one the other day called, Colin Farrell was in it, and I can't remember the name of it.
The lobster.
No. It was. Hopefully, I've made a record of it because how long ago is it? I did watch Idiocracy the other day, which is the documentary about America, which is very good.
Yeah.
You know what? It's just that The only thing that's incorrect about that movie is that he was off by about 500 years.
Yeah.
The bit that I love the most in Idiocracy was Joe went to see a movie called Ass. It was a man's ass for 90 minutes breaking wind.
Yeah.
It won 8 Oscars that year. Because I just think to myself, this is where we're going. Because that's going to happen at some point in time. Man,
they're spraying all the crops with Gatorade. It's like, yeah, it's got electrolytes.
Hey, speaking of that, did you finish 30 Coins?
Not yet. Again, it's still on my list of things to do. I know I will get there. I know I'm looking forward to the episode that you mentioned. But no, it's on my list of things to do. I have it. They talk so fast and the subtitles come up so quickly. It is hard to keep up, and so I've got to be in the mood for it.
Hard for you to read totally. English.
Yeah. Well, yeah. When there's a girl on screen who's very cute, you're kind of like, you know, torn between the two. You know.
That's true. Have you seen that? Have you tried to watch that yet, Yoda? It's really good, and you would like it.
What's it called again?
30 Coins. And it's Spanish HBO had it. Is a Spanish horror series. Very Lovecraftian, I consider it.
Killing of a Sacred Deer was the A24 film I was trying to think of.
Yeah, yeah. That's very...
It was very good. Very, very good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But it wasn't too art house that it wasn't enjoyable. It was, it is mildly art house, I suppose. But no, I quite liked it.
Do you have to wear like a beret while you're watching it?
That's right. Smoke a pipe.
Yeah.
I completely agree with what the director's trying to say here. Are you still with us, Dean?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I was trying to comment on the lamb thing because he didn't actually shag the sheep. That was Return of Billy the Kid.
Yes, which I have seen.
A big mythical beast comes and shags the sheep.
Oh, is that what it was? I knew there was some sheep fucking in there somewhere.
A mythical beast that's like a half man, half sheep. Which you just have to imagine it, because when you see it,
which half is the man half, and which
it's all over the place. You know, he's got like one leg that's a man, and his head's a sheep, and
his arms
are like sheepy, but with hooves on the end instead of hands. But he might have one hand, I think. He's like the devil or something, all mixed up. And
his cousin is the man bear pig.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I thoroughly enjoyed it, though. And
I'll check it out.
It wasn't my proudest fap, but, it was quite good.
George, why don't you go through some of the chats here? I mean, once you get yourself back together.
It's not much better. We mentioned it in... Anyway, where are we in the chat? So Yoda's rambling. Yeah, we all knew that. Serbian movie. Are you not like Serbian movie trained? And then I think people were getting into an argument and they weren't sure what it was about.
It's about it's about some Serbians that... here's a very quick... Dean, why don't you take this one, in fact?
Newborn porn.
That's a good way, but that's about
the dad. The newborn and the dad. Let's just leave it at that for YouTube.
And there's like a little bit where jealousy's involved with the brother-in-law and his wife, and he's a porn star, and it's basically porn, but pretending to be a political commentary, which it isn't, but it's porn.
No.
And gory porn. And he's got a massive tool on him. I've never seen anything that big. And I've seen a few. But not in real
life. And I've seen over 7.
not in real life, obviously.
I don't want any elaboration on any of this.
So back to the chat. Eggy Wegg says, NGL, the position of those film reels makes you look like Mickey Mouse ears. Oh, it does a bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Ha-ha! Screw you, China. I'm just saying, no big. Oh, somebody said about the no big, the no budget Peter Jackson movies, like Braindead and Meet the Feebles and stuff. I mean, Braindead to me is genius. I kick ass for the Lord, and stuff like that.
It's, you know what? I think it's okay. It's all right. Oh. It's over. I think it's overrated.
I think when it came out, it was great, but now we are a bit saturated with that kind of thing.
Dane, what's your take on that?
Well, I never liked those Peter Jackson things back in the day. I thought they were a bit childish, and I still think they're a bit childish, really.
Oh, fair enough.
I like the Frighteners a lot.
He's talking about the bad taste and
no, but yeah, he's talking about
the ones prior to that.
Yeah, the bad taste one. It was like rubber masks and stuff, and you know, I filmed for like $20 or whatever. I couldn't get into it.
They do Dead Alive.
The thing is,
yeah, Dead Alive. It's got two different names depending on where it was released. Dead Alive and
same movie. Okay,
same movie. Yeah.
Bad taste, though, I give credit to Peter Jackson for, because I know, I mean, like I say, it was made on a shoestring budget. It was made on 60 mil, and it was, I remember, I'm sure it was in an interview or I read it somewhere, that his mum was getting really fed up with him because he kept baking alien heads in the oven and stuff, so that he could then fill them with red stuff to, like, bash them with baseball bats and blood would go everywhere and stuff. And so, I mean, I've got time for them, because I think, you know, he was a passionate filmmaker.
But that don't, you know, it's just,
no, no, no. They're not going to be, you know, genius works of art or anything else. But I just, like I say, I still quite like him.
I
don't think everything's that what he makes needs to be released. Just because they've made it,
yeah,
doesn't mean that we have to see it.
I just watched the guy with the lawnmower, you know, just carving up people and that one. I'm thinking, this is a guy that made Lord of the Rings.
You know, his documentary on World War One was is real good. That They Shall Not Grow Old. Now that was really well done.
Yeah. I like the Beatles thing. I've only watched the first episode. Watch to bring the tone down, Sean.
Well, I mean, you just don't like it because so many limeys died. World War One.
So we had to come to Cormis, Pro Patria Mori.
Oh,
that's a bit of Wilfred Owen. He wrote a load of poems about World War One because basically everybody just died, and he died. Before his poems were even published. And
there's still sections of France that are uninhabitable.
Yeah, they still turn up gas, like mustard gas shells, and a farmer kills himself every couple of years or something, don't they?
And that's what the poems are about, the gas attacks and everything. And they're all, like, homosexually based as well, because it seems he was a bit of a homosexual. Because I was
not
reading about him last
night. Not the best limericks I've heard. Yeah. Now in my head I've just got loads of limericks that I can't say.
But we had to learn about in school Wilfred Owen and World War One, and I don't know why they made us learn that, because, you know, when you're 11 you're more interested in what's between your legs and the hairy bits growing than hearing about, like,
yeah, that's right,
soldiers getting mustard gassed in trenches. Bit of a downer, really. I mean,
yeah, that's kind of a weird. That
I mean, it doesn't kill the erection completely, but it is a bit sad.
Back to the chat. So, A Boy with a Lamb's Head, is it set in Wales? Says Eggy Weggy. That's just a British joke there for our English readers, because all people in Wales shag sheep.
Yeah, we say the same thing about, like, Alabama, Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi.
Yeah, okay.
Which one are you in, Sean?
Kentucky.
We say that about Kentucky.
Yeah.
I thought it was your own relatives you shagged there.
That's West Virginia. I'm not some kind of degenerate. And it's not sheep, it's goats.
Okay.
Right.
They are more attractive.
Yeah.
Livestock is available.
To be honest, the
can't
horns, you can hold
yeah,
on to.
Yeah, you can grab onto the horns for leverage. That's
right.
You know.
30 coins is okay. don't expect too much from the ending.
You know what? Just because somebody's got a keyboard and making their opinion known in the chat, our opinions are the ones that matter, not the little
bloke on the internet said. And then he said, pizza.
I'm half man, half smurf.
That's a bit rude.
I think it's because I got the blue. Something's going on with the video capture. I'm getting new equipment coming in this week.
I kind of like the look of it, to be honest with you.
It's fantastic. I think it gives me kind of an era of
cyberpunk. Very cyberpunk.
Or magical. Oh, yeah. Magic. I don't know.
Whimsy.
Let's go with that. It can't look whatever we're going to go with. We're not going to go with cheap equipment. Okay. let's not do that one.
I've got to remind George of something because he watched that horrible thing with Christopher Lee. Do you remember Earth Search?
Oh, it rings a bell.
It was a BBC Radio 4 show where it's like humankind is on a spaceship heading back to Earth after it's been kicked off of Earth, and Earth's moved like 45 million years away, and they're looked after by robots, and it goes on for like two or three seasons of it. It's all quite involved and science fictiony, but there was a TV series that was written by Harlan Ellison that the Americans had. I can't remember the name of it, but it's exactly the same story. And Star it's like, Trek. Who copied who?
Oh, Battlestar Galactica is what you're thinking.
It was similar to it was before Battlestar Galactica, and it was really, really low budget.
Space 1999? Was it that one?
No, before that as well. It had the same kind of name, like, you know, Celestial Guardians or something.
Thunderbirds.
No, it's like
Star Wars.
Flintstones.
One day you'll find Jetsons. It on YouTube and you'll think, what have I just encountered? There's like five episodes of it, and then it was axed. And then ITV, to compete with this, made something where there was a planet of women that sent the men away to Earth to, I don't know why, but men weren't allowed on their planet. So if they had one, they'd just send them to Earth. And then one of them...
And they thought that was a punishment.
Yeah, one of them escaped or something that they had as their slave, and two women with like purple hair, you know, like the modern danger hairs that you find. It was a bit like that UFO series where they had purple hair or whatever, that kind of style. They were trying to track down this guy it was awful. But again, that one had people like Robert Vaughn and all the big names in it.
It's funny because you think most of the budget goes on just those names, don't you? You know, there's a budget of you know, $50,000, and we spent $48,000 on Robert Vaughn. So,
guaranteed.
I'm pretty sure it's Star-Lost that was in it.
Star-Lost.
Yeah. Is that the one you're Star-Lost talking about?
That must have been the Harlan Ellison one.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one I'm finding here. How many episodes are there? 16.
Yeah, Star it felt Lost. Like there was five because it was the same thing. It was like the same thing every episode. Is like, you know, we found another section of the ship, and these people do something that's different to the other people in a section of the ship. And so it's a bit like Westworld and that kind of thing, where they'd find a group of people that were isolated from everybody else who didn't know the rest of the ship existed, and then they would like go off and forget about them for the next episode.
So let me read it for our listener. Foreseeing the destruction of Earth, humanity builds a multi-generational starship called Earthship Ark, which is 50 miles or 80 kilometers wide and 200 miles or 320 kilometers long. The ship contains dozens of biospheres, each kilometers across, and housing people of different cultures. Their goal is to find and seed a new world of a distant star. In 2385, more than 100 years into the voyage, an unexplained accident occurs. The ship goes into emergency mode, whereby each biosphere is sealed off from the others. In 2790, 405 years after the accident, Devon, played by Keir Dulé, that was the Bowman from 2001. A resident of Cypress Corners, an agrarian community with a culture resembling that of the Amish, discovers his world is far larger and more mysterious than he had realized. Considering an outcast because of the questioning of the way things are, especially his refusal to accept the arranged marriage of his love, Rachel, to his friend Garth, Devin finds out that the Cypress Corners elders have deliberately manipulated the local computer terminal, which they call the voice of the creator. So, I mean, it looks, I actually,
very high concept.
Yeah. It's a pretty interesting concept. It does have kind of a Battlestar Galactica feel because you have all these different ships and people come from different areas of Caprica or one of the 13 colonies or 12 colonies. But it's, it looked like it just didn't make it.
I suppose the problem is when you've got like a really limited budget, it really shows. And then for some reason, Doctor Who carried on, and nothing. I mean, you know, the early Doctor Who's I do quite enjoy, but I mean, they were terribly made. But how they managed to keep the budget and keep them going until now is kind of a mystery, really.
Well, this Harlan Ellison thing, it was like Logan's Run with no budget. And all the costumes were, you know, from other shows that had just like been turned inside out or something. So they looked a bit tunicky or, you know.
I've been going through the whole list of different bits and pieces here, and one that's just come up is, I do remember with very fond affection, tripods on the BBC. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was fantastic. They had these giant tripods which would land on Earth, and they would put caps in people. They had to shave their heads, and they would put like metal plates in people's heads, and it was brilliant. I remember being terrified of that as a kid.
What was more terrifying was they ended up in France.
Oh yeah, they did, didn't they? You know what? I actually think I owned the DVDs and the videos of those a little while ago. I'm going to put that back on my watch list now because I want to try and find copies again.
So is that like a take on War of the Worlds tripods, or is it?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, except that these aliens are out to control people, and for no apparent reason that I can think of. No, but they're controlling the world's governments and everything, and controlling the population, and the people are their workers. But it's like a feudal system. Everybody's like regressed back to lords and serfs and castles and things. And
to be fair, we should let aliens try because the governments aren't doing a very good job.
I thought we should say tripod. I thought it was the story of John Holmes, tripod.
It got cancelled. We got cancelled before we ever found out what the thing was about, really. It was two seasons of it.
And it just stopped.
Yeah.
The BBC does
that. The BBC will run something like, you know, until it's on its last legs, like Doctor Who at the moment. They never cancel anything, but they cancelled it. I couldn't believe it. You know, you turn it on, like, Saturday night, you're thinking, oh, tripods is on, but it's not. It just stopped.
Yeah, that's what I remember about it, is, like I say, Saturday night was, tripods, like you say, is why isn't tripods on? I think I remember asking my dad why it wasn't on, but he didn't know.
Did you guys ever watch that War of the Worlds American TV series? It's like two seasons of it, and first season's pretty good, and then absolute change of tone, change of actors and characters for the second that you killed it.
I remember it like came out in the late 80s, I think.
Yeah, 88, 89.
Yeah, I remember that the first episode, like they found them, the aliens all sealed up in oil drums or something. And
yeah,
nuclear
waste. They sealed them up in nuclear waste drums.
And they let them out, and they were able to get one of their ships working, and then it fell over, and then the rest of the time was the aliens took on human form, and nobody cared after that because you clearly had no budget. You know, so they weren't showing the aliens. They were all taking human form, which means saving money.
I thought it was neat how they could only use like the human body for a short time, and then they had to leave it, and they'd melt into a really neat gross puddle. It's pretty I loved it as a kid, you know.
That had Jared Martin in it, I think. Do you know who that is? He was also in Fantastic Journey, that was in the Bermuda Triangle, where all his family had gone through like a different time zone and met other people from different time zones. And he had like a fork that glowed, like a piano tuning fork that glowed as his weapon. And he was in this War of the Worlds thing as well for the first season. And they killed him off all of them.
Really. I want to find this War of the Worlds thing now. It's on.
I think it's on YouTube. I think you can watch them on YouTube.
The guy
that was in Predator that had like the grenade launcher, he played one of the main characters in it, like the army or something. Yeah.
I try the Starship Lost or whatever it was called.
Is that Starship Lost on YouTube, you say, Ding?
Yeah.
It's rated as one of the worst science fiction shows of all time. So.
But man,
I watched all of it. I sat there because I was bored, and I watched all of it just to find out how bad it could be, and it really was bad.
Is it that bad?
I'm the same as you, Dean. That, like I say, sometimes I just think of things that they're going to be so awful that I want to see how bad they're going to be. Like Scream the other day.
Well, I got to say, I mean, the concept is
yeah, great concept.
Fascinating to me. I guess it's probably the execution, obviously, but it seems like it a concept they could bring back that they could do now.
Couldn't go anywhere at all because like all these people are trapped on the ship. They all like will eventually know each other, and they could keep inventing more and more like biospheres for them to keep entering or whatever. But it's the same thing. It's like, hello, we're from this biosphere and you don't know what we are. And you speak upside down and stand on the ceiling. But in our biosphere, we don't. We sit on tables. And, you know, and it's like, and they always had to like bring their, like, it's like, what's this thing that the wokies keep on about? The colonization or colonialism. It's like they have to bring their way of life to all these other ones. They're all like savages compared to them. It's like, but we don't eat each other's feet in this biosphere. You know, that's unheard of.
Again, execution, but I mean, a ship that big and they get sealed off. I mean, there's definitely some, I think there's some good stories that could be happening.
It had potential, but
just imagine how much with all the LSD, then you can do it, you know.
And you say that was a Harlan Ellison thought that up, because that's definitely a Harlan Ellison concept, but not a Harlan Ellison write every episode.
Well,
you know?
He changed his name for the credits, so I'm guessing that he got pissed off about it because that's what he does.
But he did write every episode. He wrote every episode.
Oh no, shit!
But it was just so poorly done for him that he didn't want anything to do with it, and of course everybody copied it. It was like your monster of the week kind of thing. You know, different environment each time. But that was terrible, and I thought like my life wasn't long enough to watch that. I could feel myself physically aging with each one, and none of them could act. And of course, Kia Dullea from 2001, he was the only name that you'd ever know in it. And he couldn't act then. Well, he couldn't act anyway, but it was awful. Just awful.
Just sticking with old stuff like that. I was going through the list on IMDb, and two titles that came up to me, the things I remember. One of them, first of all, was Automan, where the guy created the guy from his computer.
That's one.
Computer-generated superhero and his human creator fight crime in the city. But the other one that really stuck out to me in another list was Manimal.
I love that. Simon McCorkindale and Automan. I've got an action figure of Automan.
Automan is best remembered, not actually watched.
The thing I remember about Manimal is how when he turned into a hawk, his hand would turn into the claw or the talons of the bird. So I used to think, what, so his legs turn into the wings? That doesn't make any sense. But obviously that's what they had.
Which means his ass turns into the head. So every time the hawk screeches, it's really just farting.
Years ago, I spoke to one of the bad guys who was in that series, He was in the bad guy in everything. He's called David something. I can't remember his surname because it was so long ago. He's dead now. And he said it was the first lycanthrope series. That was a thing he said to me on the phone.
No kid.
Kind of.
And I never even thought of it that way.
He would turn really into a cat, though, and a hawk most of the time. A panther and a hawk. I think he could turn into anything, but they only had the budget for one panther and one hawk. So there was a series at that time that I really loved, and this is more of a deep, because kind of people remember Manimal and Automan for the kitschy 80s, you know. Oh, yeah, but nobody remembers this
Michael
show.
Michael Post wrote the music.
Yeah. But nobody remembers this show. It was with the guy who played Joachim in Star Trek II, like Khan's right-hand man. And it was called, its name is Judson Scott, but it was called The Phoenix. And he played like an astronaut from another world or something. And he's looking for his wife. And I guess they I don't know, there's
Alf.
A lot of Egyptian imagery. No, not thinking of Alf, trust me. There's a lot of Egyptian imagery, and he has this necklace on him that would give him weird powers. I don't remember much of it beyond that, but I remember when I was a kid, it was like, I have to watch this show, which, of course, was very difficult because they kept moving it to God knows where, trying to find a spot for it. So, it was one of those one-and-done shows that probably, again, was way better in my mind than it actually is.
What year do you kind of... 82, maybe?
I'm going to take a guess, say 82, 83.
Because it seems a little familiar to me, but I can't quite bring it all back, you know.
Not that films and TV influenced me, but on this list as well, they also had Street Hawk, which was the bike version of Knight Rider.
Like
I say, not that it influenced me, but I used to have a black and yellow BMX bike. And my dad used to have a lettering kit. And I remember he went so mad at me for taking these letters. But I got these letters, and I called my bike Night Hawk.
Gay Hawk.
No, Night Hawk, because that was kind of like a mix between Knight Rider and Street Hawk.
Oh.
Yeah.
To do it properly, you'd have to like put a ramp up inside a barn and ride it up. So you like flew out onto the street.
Back when I was a kid in the 80s, and there was no health and safety, that's what we used to do all the time.
Yeah.
What was it? The Simpsons did that.
I just remember the
night boat.
Yeah.
It's like, they're going on land. Don't worry, there's a fjord.
Oh, there's always a fjord or an inlet or a river.
Canal.
Well, I remember the guy from Manimal. The bad guy was David Hess, and of course, is our favorite rapist. From all those Wes Craven movies where he's a rapist.
Oh
yeah.
Okay.
Last House on the Left.
That one, and there's another one, Trip with Teacher, which I think is him as well.
That's some shitty typecasting.
Yeah, you're the rape guy.
You're the rapist.
That's me.
I know
he,
you.
It was Krug.
Oh, do me.
Whatever
you're putting, he was a bad guy. Give me a picture with you. Do the thing.
I'll scream that.
He was a rapist of the West Craven movie.
You go to the thing that's got the cardboard cutout where you just stick your face in it, and it's like him raping someone, and you stick your head through the hole.
I remember you from Punky Brewster. Oh, God, yeah, that was... Big mistake.
Yoda, do you wanna think about wrapping up?
Street Hawk was underrated.
Street Hawk was underrated.
Yeah.
Street Hawk was okay. I think I remember that. I remember the one that was. There was a bunch of those old syndicated shows of some loner on the edge that had some fighting talent or some sort of magical car. Bike or plane or
Airwolf, Street Hawk.
There was even a Blue Thunder series.
Didn't last
long, but it was there.
That Blue Thunder, the movie, another Dan O'Bannon wrote screenplay that the studio screwed with.
I actually like the movie, but
I like
making the show kind of missed the point of the movie, which was this helicopter is bad and we shouldn't have it.
Weapon of mass destruction, basically, to be used on the general population.
Yeah.
Then it becomes the hero in the TV.
Yeah, then it became Knight Rider. It's like, no, that's not exactly the point.
Not that people rip things off, but on that Automan, sorry, I just noticed there was another series called Hologram, which was a modern-day animator accidentally awakens a holographic superhero from 1983. And I'm just looking at it going, I wonder where they got the idea from that from.
You know, when you say anytime I hear Automan, the first thing I think of is that cartoon where the teenager could turn into a car himself.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Turbo Teen, yeah.
They did a great
thing. But it was Tron, really. It was Tron inspired.
Yeah, Tron inspired Automan. Suit. Turbo Team was horrifying.
Yeah. LSD inspired that.
His whole head would stretch and his mouth would turn into the grill. I always thought that was so weird when I was a kid. I was like, what in
did
the
Did you
hell?
See the, it was like if he got under heat or if he got under cold, like if he got cold, he would turn back into human. If he got under heat, he would turn into the turbo, into the car.
Yeah.
So they did this on Robot Chicken where he got really drunk. And he fell under one of those heat lamps that they have outside, you know, when you're having a party outside, and he turns into the car, but he's passed out. And some kids get in the car, and they just have, you know, just really crazy sex in it. And then a bum comes by and takes a shit in the car. And then somebody comes by and steals the tires. And then it rains, and it gets towed and put into a car compactor where they spray it down with water. He turns back into the kid, but he's like all torn up. His arms are missing.
I was thinking to myself, if he turned into a car and then gave a bunch of girls a lift and then it got cold or something, he would turn inside out and then these girls would be inside him
bad things could happen.
He's in the back seat with his girlfriend and the windows are rolled up and the heater's on and he's like making out with her and suddenly, boom, he turns into a car, crushes her. Blood, guts everywhere. He's like, oh my God.
It's got the crankshaft up her sniz.
Yeah.
Yoda, do you want to start thinking about wrapping
up? I think we better, yeah.
Although taking the trip down nostalgia lane with everybody was great fun.
Yeah, it's a bad time of year trying to talk about movies. You're just struggling for content here.
We have to bring in a third party to bail us out.
Yeah.
it's like January is always bad. It's like they just chuck out whatever crap.
Yeah.
They can fit in the rest of the year, so you just have rubbish, don't you?
Yeah, like they don't chuck out whatever they can in May either. It just has a bigger budget. So anyway, thank you.
October.
Yep. Thanks for joining us, Joel, and of course Sean, and not George Lucas. We always have fun here. I'm ready to pass out. I've been talking too long. So thanks again for joining us. Remember, we are lastmovieoutpost.com. You can reach us at contactus@lastmovieoutpost.com. And of course, we are on Twitter. I'm at DrunkenYoda1. He is at NotGeorgeLucas1. And of course, we are at Movie Outpost. Follow us on Twitter and please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Share these videos out. Watch our various different videos, the Overlook series, and whatever else we decide to do.
If both of you could share the video, that would be great.
That would be great. We'll take all we could get. No, come on. Give them a break here. They did a lot of chatting today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, they did. Very active chat.
You guys were
chat.
Awesome. So we will see you next week. George, got anything else? Any final thoughts?
No, apart from I will move my ears next week.
All right.
Or at least cause them to spin the entire time you're on the...
They do actually work. Somebody asked earlier if they are actual reels.
All right, that's enough.
Yes, they are. These are 8mm reels because I still play with 8mm cinefilm.
That's... I know there's a dick joke in there somewhere, but I'm just going to let it go.
I have one teed up, but I better not.
You know, you guys don't know what millimeters are. Don't give me that.
Sean, anyway. Please, anything else?
Nope.
All right. Well, we will see you all in the next stream. And remember, lastmovieoutpost.com. Thanks again for watching, and we'll see you next Sunday.